Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, we don't take it lightly, but Lord, we take heed to it. It is the word of God. And Lord, we just ask that the Spirit of the Lord would speak into each and every heart and life here today. And Lord, that we would hear what you're saying to us, that in some way our lives would be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a series on basic Christianity, and there are literally hundreds of topics that come under that subject that I could share about. But there's just four messages I'm sharing about basic Christianity. And these four things are absolutely essential. First, we talked about basic Christianity requires a real relationship with the Lord. Without a real relationship, all you have is just another religion. That's what Jesus came and died for. Pay the price for our sins, but not just so that we could be forgiven, but so that we could be restored in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." And that really is what the Christian life is all about. First and foremost, it's about having a relationship with the Lord. It's not about religion and rules, but it's about relationship. Without that relationship, Christianity would just leave you as a judgmental, legalistic person. No, we got to have a true relationship with Jesus. Next, Christianity is about transformed lives. It doesn't just reform you. It doesn't just help you to be a little better. But it changes your life. Real Christianity, basic Christianity, I'm telling you, it is life-changing. It is a transformation. There's a lot of Christianity in this world that just seems to be another form of religion, powerless to truly change you. If you have your Bible, you might turn over to this passage quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Now notice, it's not going to talk about earthquakes and hurricanes. We think of those as being perilous times, certainly. But listen to what it is speaking about. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the generation that we live in. And certainly those traits and characteristics have been around as long as man has been on this earth. But never in any generation have you seen them more than our generation today. Terrible times, perilous times that we live in. But listen to verse 5. He says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such turn away." And who is he talking about that have a form of godliness? Well, these lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They're the ones that have a form of godliness. And I'm telling you, there is a Christianity in the world today that doesn't have a real relationship with Jesus. And is it life-changing? It denies the power thereof. It's a form of religion, but there's no life-changing power. Real Christianity has life-changing power. It'll transform who you are. Real Christianity is about being born again, becoming a son, a daughter of God. It's having a new nature. It's about becoming salt and light in this world. That leads us to our message today. We are changed, and it makes us an agent of change in this world. See, it's not enough just to know Him and our lives forever to be changed. As wonderful as that is, that's not all there is to this Christian life. No, we have been called to serve Him and to serve His purpose, to make a difference in this world. Now, to be a Christian, A real Christian is to be a follower of Christ. Jesus, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. You need to turn to this one, all right? If you've got your Bible, I want you to see this one for yourself in your own Bible. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. He said to them all. I believe that includes you and me. I think it's the saddest thing when people think that most of the Bible was for somebody else, but not for them. No, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, you want to be a Christian? Here's what Jesus says. If anybody wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Well, there's some popular preaching. In this generation, where people are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, you going to stand up and tell people that they got to deny themselves? Real Christianity. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you want to come after me, deny yourself. You can't just do what you want. You can't just live for self. You can't just live to please yourself if you're going to be a true follower of Christ. He says you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily. He's not talking about you going by the lumber store this afternoon and getting you some 2x4s and nailing them together and you're going to drag around a cross. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about going home and getting in your jewelry chest and getting you a gold cross that you can wear around your neck. That's not the cross he's talking about. Well, what is he talking? It means something. Jesus says, anybody that's going to come after me, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. We need to know what that's talking about. For Jesus, the cross was ultimately, that was his ultimate purpose that the Father sent him to earth for, to die on that cross for our sins. But it's not talking about us being martyrs and dying for the Lord. He says, take up your cross daily. It is talking about that daily we take up the purpose of God in our life. We're no longer just living for self, but we live for God. If you're a born-again Christian, you know the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. Amen. And we don't live our lives for ourselves anymore, but we live for the one who died for us. And so Jesus says, if you want to really come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up every day, take up the purpose of God in your life. When we do that, we're a true follower of Christ. Acts 13 and 36. Oh, let's finish this. I'm sorry. Verse 24. Listen, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, he's not talking about your physical life. He's talking about your whole person. The word there is the same word that most places is translated as soul. When you try to hang on to your life and live for self, you end up living a dissatisfied, empty life. But when you're willing to lay down yourself, deny yourself, and fulfill the purpose of God in your life, that's when you find real life. That's when you find that fulfillment in life, that abundant life that Jesus says is for us. I think so many Christians are living a substandard Christian life because they're still living trying to please themselves instead of living to please the Lord. And that's where that real joy, that fulfillment is when we're willing to not just please ourselves, but to live to serve the purpose of God in our life. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. In the NIV, it says it this way. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. David served God's purpose in his own generation, and he fell asleep. Now, you know, David wasn't a perfect man. He did things that were wrong. But David served the purpose of God. He did many great things. Rather, the Lord did it through him. God used him as a great man, a great king, a great worshiper. He served God's purpose in his generation. And when he was done, the Bible says, he fell asleep. Now I want to tell you, as long as you're still living and breathing, as long as you're drawing breath on this earth, there's a purpose that God has for you. When you have served his purpose, you're done. Amen. But David served the purpose of God. And that ought to be true of every Christian, that we served God's purpose in our life. Jesus called his followers salt and light. We're supposed to be salt and light in this world. Salt is something that changes the flavor of food. It's an agent of change. And church, we're supposed to be an agent of change in this world. We're supposed to make a difference. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." What are they going to see? That you have a certain hairstyle or you dress a certain way? No. They're going to see your Christian emblem? No. That they see your good works. They see that there is a difference in the way we live. There is a difference in the way we treat others. They see our good works. Good works. You know, most people consider work to be a four-letter word. There was a foreman out on the job who had 10 lazy guys working for him, and he decided he was going to trick them. He was going to fool them into doing a little bit of work. And so he said, "I've got a job for the laziest person here. It's really easy. So the laziest person, raise your hand right now." Well, 9 of them immediately raised their hands. But one of them didn't. And so he walked over to that man and he said, "Why didn't you raise your hand?" He said, "It's too much work." Listen, the Proverbs even speaks about some people being that lazy. They put their hand in the dish and too lazy to lift it to their mouth. I've never had that problem. But anyway, well, one more. Two guys walking down the street and they see a sign in the window. It says, "No help wanted." One turns to his friend and he says, "You ought to go in and apply. You'd be perfect for that." Work. You know, even in spiritual things, sometimes work is just considered to be a negative. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And church, I've shared a whole series on grace just recently. We know that we are not saved by our works. It is only by the grace of God. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't ever be good enough. It is only by God's grace. We receive it through faith. But because we are saved, we work. Because we are saved, we serve. Verse 10, you know, so often we read verses 8 and 9, but not verse 10. He goes on, he says, "For we are his workmanship." We're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're not saved by works, but rather we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, this is no accident. First of all, you're not an accident. God plans you. He has a purpose for your life. And the things that he has prepared for you to do, he prepared way in advance. He's created you in Christ Jesus for good works. The truth is that only as we fulfill the purpose of God in our lives do we truly find fulfillment and satisfaction in our life. We got to do what the Creator created us to do. Amen. We are his workmanship, created for good works. I want you to understand the good works that he's referring to here are the things that have an impact on eternity. God didn't create us for frivolous things. And it's a sad thing that so many Americans especially live out our lives wasting them on frivolous things that don't matter in eternity. It's not just talking about when we lead someone to the Lord or we talk to somebody about the Lord. It's also talking about when we pray for others, when we help somebody, serving in a ministry at the church, helping with a small group, teaching your own children to serve the Lord, raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's giving. It's using your time and your talent, your energy, your gifts for the kingdom of God. You see, there's 1,000 different ways that we can participate in and be part of what God is doing in the earth today, but we have to serve the purpose of God. You know, when we realize that our lives are making a difference in eternity, you know, there's a real joy in that. There's a real fulfillment in that, that our life matters. And I'm telling you this morning, your life is important to God. He created you for a purpose, for good works. John W. Gardner, founding chairman of Common Cause, he said, "It's a rare and high privilege to help people understand the difference they can make, not only in their own lives, but also in the lives of others, simply by giving of themselves." He tells a story about an old man who was kind of strange, maybe in a way, that whenever he would meet people, he wouldn't ask the normal questions like, "What do you do for a living?" But instead, he would ask people, and this is kind of strange if you just met somebody, he would ask people, "What have you done in your life that you really believe in and you're proud of?" Boy, that'll cause you to think. And you know, that man said the reason he asked the question, it wasn't important what their answer was. It was just important that they lived their life in order to have a good answer. In other words, he says, it's not important that they have a good answer for me, but for their own selves. How are you living your life? What are you really accomplishing in your life? What is the real purpose in your life? And for a child of God, that ought to be pretty simple in that we know that our purpose is to serve Him, to live for Him, to glorify Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Every person needs to know that God has a purpose for your life. Every one of us needs to know that you're important. It is not just a select few. No, every person in here, God had a purpose for you. Listen, your parents might not have planned you, but God did. He knew about you before you were even born. Before you were even conceived, He knew about you. In the foreknowledge of God. Listen to what David said in Psalms 139, 13 through 16. I'm going to read it in the NIV. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days you ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see, the Lord knew us before we were even formed in the womb, and He ordained our days. One more time, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We need to know that God has prepared us. He has a purpose for us. Good works that we are to carry out, that we're to fulfill. Every single person, there is a purpose of God in your life. And He says we're to take up that cross daily. Take up that purpose every day of your life. Now, some people think, well, young people, now listen to me. And if you consider yourself a young people, listen to me. Listen. Someday I'm going to do something for God. Or someday I'm going to do something really big for God. And that's wonderful. I think it is awesome when you have that kind of vision and know that God does have a great hope and a future for you, plans for you in the future. But you also need to realize that you got to take up that cross daily, not just someday. There is a purpose of God for your life today. Today, tomorrow morning, there is a purpose of God for your life on Monday morning. Now, some of you, you've been serving the Lord for many years, and you look back and you say, well, all of my great tasks are in the past. But you need to know also that God still has a purpose for you today. If you're still here on this earth, there's still a purpose for your life. And we need to live each and every day, not just living for self, but taking up the purpose of God and fulfilling His purpose in our life, serving the purpose of God. You know, Paul was consumed with his calling and purpose. In Acts 20 and 24, in the NIV, it says it this way, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Listen, he said, there's one thing that's important to me. That is to finish the task that I was given. And you know what? Every one of us needs to have that kind of passion in our service for the Lord. I don't even count my life as dear. There's one thing that's important to me. It is to serve the purpose of God. We have a calling. And I tell you, it's first to the Lord Himself, but there is also a calling on each and every life to be used of the Lord, to serve Him. And the saddest thing is that most people waste so much of their life rather than fulfilling the purpose of God. Waste their life on things that are unimportant. Forget what's important. Just get caught up in the busyness of life. Get distracted. In fact, one of the things that's so common in our generation, people are, listen, talk about a substandard Christian life. Here it goes. Well, you don't understand. I'm so stressed out with my job, and I've got all these responsibilities, and I've got to take care of this and take care of that. I don't really have time to serve God, to work for the Lord, to be involved in ministry in any way. I don't have time for that. And they're living a life with no peace, no joy, no real fulfillment. They're not experiencing abundant life. Amen. That's a substandard Christian life. They're doing exactly what Jesus said would happen in Luke 9:24. They're saving their life and end up losing it. But when we lay down our life and we put God first in our life and we serve His purpose first, that's when you really find life. You get your priorities right. And it's amazing. God just blesses. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I read a story about a lady stopped off at a garage sale. She was looking for all the bargains and everything, and she told the lady who was having the garage sale, she said, "My husband's going to be so mad at me for stopping off here." And she said, "Oh, I'm sure he'll be all right once you show him all the great deals that you got." She said, "Well, normally that would probably be true, but he broke his leg and he's waiting on me to come pick him up to take him to the doctor to get it set." That's trouble. And you know, as ridiculous as that may sound, how much more ridiculous it is when we just busy ourselves or become distracted with frivolous things in life and fail to really pursue the purpose of God and the things that God wants us to do in our life. He created you in Christ Jesus for good works. If we're going to find the purpose of God in our life, we've got to look beyond ourselves. Whatever we do in life, ultimately, what really matters most is that we feel those two great commands, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourself. And I'm telling you this morning, as you serve God, you serve one another, Jesus makes it very plain and clear. Matthew chapter 25, he's talking about the nations coming before him. He'll divide him, some on the right and some on the left. And he says to the righteous, he says, "You fed me, you gave me drink, you visited me when I was in prison." They said, "When did we do those things?" He said, "When you did it to the least of these." And of course, then he proceeds and he tells those others, those goats, he says, "You didn't visit me. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't help me." And they said, "When did we not?" He said, "When you did it not to the least of these." I'm telling you, as we serve the Lord and we fulfill the purpose of God in our life, it'll always have to do with helping and ministering to other people. It's not just about ourselves, but we got to get outside of ourselves and serve others. And that's the way the Lord Jesus was. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. I want you to know this, though. God made you on purpose. He made you for a purpose. It's amazing how that God designed each of us for a particular task. God has given each of us certain abilities and gifts that we were designed for, certain works, certain purposes that He has for us. And you know, as you read the Bible, you see over and over in the New Testament that we are all part of the body of Christ. We're each one members of one another. And the Bible makes it very plain and clear that we need every part of the body of Christ. That if one part of the body is not functioning properly, if one part of your body is not functioning properly, listen, it affects all of your body. And the Bible says if one part of the body of Christ suffers, all of it suffers. You see, we need every part of the body of Christ. And you may not think that you're important. I'm telling you this morning, you are. You're important to God and you're important to the body of Christ. And the things, the gifts, the abilities, the talents that you might think are not important, they're important in the body of Christ. And we need you. You know, far too long it's been said in the body of Christ that 20% of the body does 80% of the work. And most pastors can tell you that that's pretty much right. Which one are you? You part of the 20 or the 80? Now, some of you have been part of the 80. Today's the day to decide, you know what? I'm going to be part of the 20. I'm going to serve the purpose of God. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to be involved in what God's doing in the earth today. What would happen if 100% of the body of Christ gave their all? Wow. We would turn this world upside down once again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, that's what we need. That's what needs to happen in our world today, is that every believer needs to decide they're going to be salt and light in this world. We're not just going to exist. We're not just going to hang out till He comes, but we're going to work till He comes. We're going to see lives changed. Every part of the body of Christ really gave their all. I'm telling you what a difference it would make. You know, many churches today, the members are not really considered to be important as long as they just show up and pay their tithes. Anything that needs to be done, we can hire somebody to do. We'll just pay somebody. And it's more and more the theme of the church in America today that you don't have to do anything, just show up and give your money. And a lot of that appeals to a lot of people. No commitment, no involvement other than my money. No involvement. But I'm telling you, that's not what God created you for. Every single one of you, He placed in you gifts and abilities and talents, things that are to be used in the body of Christ, used in the work of the Lord. And you will find such great joy and fulfillment in serving His purpose. Now, it's not really a new issue when you talk about not enough people wanting to be involved in what God's doing. In fact, Matthew chapter 9, well, several places. It's in Matthew 9, 36 through 38, if you want a verse reference. But Jesus told the disciples, He said, "The harvest is plentiful, See, most people think it's backwards. They think, well, the problem, the reason we're not reaching more people is because it's just hard. There's not really much harvest. There's a lot of people, they're just not ready. I'm telling you, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus told the disciples very plainly, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers, are few. It's still true today, church. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of children and young people that are just waiting to be led to the Lord, waiting for somebody to show them what it means to be a true follower of Christ. There are a lot of moms and dads, a lot of adults out there who are just waiting for to be harvested. Amen. Waiting to be won to the Lord. The issue is, Jesus said, the workers are few. I tell you, we need to answer that call to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. Christianity that closes itself off from others and fails to bear fruit is not true Christianity. Jesus calls us to serve. He calls us to be fruitful. If you have your Bible, turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to read 1 through 8. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, real fruit can only come in our lives when we have a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes people get religious and work for God and don't even have a real relationship with God. In fact, what happens to a lot of believers at times, they get so busy in the work of the Lord that they allow their relationship with God to suffer. And they end up being empty and fruitless. See, that relationship always has to come first, that we abide in the vine. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He says, this is how we glorify our Father, that we bear much fruit. Remember what he said in Matthew 5:16, that other people will see our good works and glorify our Father? It's that same principle. As we bear fruit in our lives, our Heavenly Father is glorified. You know, I think we can keep this very simple about this fruit that is mentioned here. What exactly is he talking about? Well, you know, some people try to narrow it down just to a certain thing. But I want to tell you, he gives us the real meaning here. Our Father is glorified. So our fruit, the fruit of anybody's life, is what your life produces. It is the outcome of your life. What is your life producing? But when the fruit of our life glorifies God, that is the fruit of a true Christian life. When your life glorifies God. And you know, that can be seen in your marriage, your family. It can be seen in how you conduct business and how you work at your job. Does it glorify God? Not just does it glorify you, oh, he's a hard worker, but does it glorify God? It can be seen in the way that we handle our money, the way we raise our kids, the way we drive down the highway, the way we talk, the way we treat people. Does it glorify God? I'm telling you, the fruit of our lives should glorify God. Our lives should have an impact on this world and make a difference in this world. I tell you, the Lord's really serious about this fruit-bearing business. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a spiritual club. It is a living, fruitful vine. And we are here in this world to be fruitful. He tells us in verse 16 of chapter 15 that He's chosen us and appointed us to go and bring forth fruit. Those that don't bear fruit, those that merely profess to know Him, those who have religion but no relationship, no evidence of a changed life, He takes away. Here in John 15, He speaks of our life as a Christian, our ministry, our impact on this world for God. Does our life glorify God? You know, when we really bear fruit, what joy, what satisfaction and fulfillment we find. You know, I don't understand all this in nature, but when an apple tree just can't bear oranges no matter how hard it tries, it's got to do what it was created to do. And you know, when they flourish is when they're really bearing fruit. And the same is true in our life. A child of God, a Christian, flourishes when they're bearing fruit, when they're serving the purpose of God. One of my favorite verses is in John chapter 4, verse 34. And I want to close with this today. Jesus has been ministering to the woman at the well, and it's lunchtime, and the disciples come back from town. They went to get food, and they come back from town with food, and Jesus is not hungry. The disciples offer Him food, and He doesn't want it, so they think among themselves, they're saying, well, maybe somebody else has brought Him food. But Jesus says this in John 4 and 34, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. My food. You see, there was something that sustained Jesus. Well, we all know that feeling on Sunday afternoon when you have a good meal and you feel so satisfied. You know what made Jesus feel satisfied like that? It was fulfilling the will of God. Finishing His work. And I'm telling you, as a child of God, when you are involved in the service for the King, when you are serving His purpose in your life, there is a fulfillment. There's a satisfaction of the soul that comes from doing what God has created you to do. We are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And I'm telling you, as you fulfill the purpose of God in your life, oh, there will be a satisfaction, a joy in your soul that comes. And so I want to tell you this morning, this is part of basic Christianity. Real Christianity isn't just about me having a relationship with Jesus and my life being changed, and now I just wait till He comes. No, real Christianity is about having a relationship with Jesus. My life is changed, and now I want to help somebody else. I want to love somebody else. I want to show others the way. I want other people to know what I have. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. Amen. And we're to share what we have with others. We're to be salt and light in this world. Well, I want you to stand with me, and as we pray, Leslie's going to come and lead us in worship for a moment. And I just encourage you as we pray this morning, just allow God to deal with your heart.